You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The pipeline company Enbridge is well known in British Columbia for its plans to transport tar sands oil from Alberta to the coast. In Michigan, Enbridge is notorious for a huge oil spill in Kalamazoo that it still hasn't cleaned up. In central Canada, Enbridge is starting to get attention for its plans to reverse the flow of oil in what's called Line 9. This is the pipeline that runs from Sarnia, Ontario to Montreal, Quebec. Enbridge won approval to reverse the flow in this pipeline last summer. It's now applying to the National Energy Board to reverse the remaining 636 kilometers running from Westover, Ontario to Montreal. Marilyn Tovar is with Climate Justice Montreal, one of the groups opposed to the reversal of the flow, and she joins me this morning from Montreal. Hello, Marilyn.
Hello, good morning.
Why does Enbridge want to reverse the flow of this pipeline?
Enbridge wants to reverse the flow because they say that it's going to increase the supply of lower-priced oil to the eastern refineries, and so they see a positive benefit to the refining industry. It's also, given the situation that right now they're selling at like $20 less the barrel than current market price, so I think they're hoping to be able to get their excess oil out here in the east. However, that claim, the fact that it would be lower priced oil for eastern Canadians and Quebecers, is questionable and has been refuted by Jean-Thomas Bernard, from economics professor from the University of Ottawa. So the reason is questionable to us.
Where is the oil coming from?
The oil will be coming from mostly from Alberta. They're applying so that it'll be light crude oil that comes out, but it could also be any crude oil blend or type. So I think right now they're talking about the stations that are like in Edmonton and Hardisty, and that would include tar sands oil. But apparently they could also choose to ship oil from the shale formations that are like in Montana, North Dakota, and Saskatchewan.
Now, I know here we've been following closely issues with the tar sands, and one of the big issues is the kind of oil that's going to be shipped here on the proposed Enbridge pipeline. Is that a concern there as well?
Definitely, because the history of that pipeline, there's been a lot of like crude oil going both ways. It was reversed in 1999, so it used to go from west to east. 1999, it started going from east to west. So the pipeline has existed since the 70s, and so the main issue here is definitely if it was to be Dilbit, that would be entering into those pipelines, and that's what's got most people concerned, especially given the Kalamazoo spill that happened in 2010.
So when you say Dilbit, you're referring to diluted bitumen. What's the difference between that and, for instance, like crude or some other form of oil?
So the difference is in diluted bitumen, because bitumen, to begin with, is a heavier substance, they have to mix with it some chemical substances. And as what happened in Kalamazoo, if ever there was to be a spill, the bitumen will go down, especially in water bodies. The bitumen will go down into the water, and whereas the chemical will just go into the air. So that created for dozens of days toxic fumes in the area of the spill in Kalamazoo, and then the bitumen itself was very much harder to clean than just a regular oil spill. And oil spills are already hard enough to clean, but the technology for cleaning up diluted bitumen is not well in place, and that's why in Kalamazoo they still have not finished to clean that spill, and it's been over 2 years. So it's a different kind of substance, and so it needs a different kind of emergency response technology that is not really that well developed yet.
Now, that's obviously a concern if it does end up being dilbit, but I understand there's also a concern if it's light crude coming from, which is being refined in Sarnia. What's the concern there?
I think when we talk about light crude or any oil or any gas that's coming from west, it's the whole issue about it coming from the tar sands and what is the social acceptability of the tar sands. In the past, a couple of years ago, there were polls that were taken in about like 80% of Quebecers were against the tar sands. What is the situation now that it's really coming to in our backyards, now that it's coming to us? For sure, now there's a lot more debate in society, so Pauline Marois, our prime minister, is kind of changing positions about the tar sands, whereas she used to, and about the whole greenhouse gas emissions issue. And I think that's what climate justice is really advocating about. We really want to bring it back to the greenhouse gas emissions and the fact that this project is socially unacceptable and really backwards in terms of where we are sitting at right now in terms of the climate change reality on this planet and in Canada, and the whole role that the tar sands has with greenhouse gas emissions.
Now, I understand there was an earlier attempt by Enbridge to reverse the flow on the line, and you described the flow originally going the other way, so it sounds like these things are continually changing. So in reference to the earlier attempt that was called the Trailbreaker Project, tell me about that. Why didn't that go ahead?
From my understanding here in Quebec, and from most, I think, activists here, it was very much one of the strong opposition that happened in Dunham, which is a municipality that's along the line that was supposed to have a pumping station put in place, and that municipality was absolutely against the pipeline. They had a very strong support from the mayor of the municipality, the citizens, as well as their Quebec member of parliament. And so that was my reading from it. But if you look at Enbridge's document, they say that it was mostly because of the economic downturn. So there was two things that happened to favor it, but there was definitely a lot of strong opposition from the population back then.
Now, you alluded to a bit of a reversal in position by Pauline Marois, the premier under the PQ minority government in Quebec. Can you just draw that out for us a little bit? What's been the change in her stance?
It's a very big one. So before she was elected, she even went up to Greenpeace and she openly. She wanted to have a meeting to talk about strategies to decrease dependency on gas, and she was really seemed really strong about decreasing greenhouse gas emissions, and that was her position. However, about 3 months ago, Quebec and Alberta had a joint committee to talk about the economic benefits of a project of bringing like the tar sands out to Quebec. So that already showed like a pretty different turnaround, and then just this morning, actually, in Le Devoir, just came out how she stated actually now that she's clearly open to the project, and so it's a total turnaround. And when she says that she's clearly open to the project, it's more than just the Line 9; it's also another pipeline project that would be going through New Brunswick. So. She's now opening up to the idea of having 600,000 barrels per day coming through Quebec from out west. So we're a little dismayed about that change in position. That's pretty much the turnaround that's been going on.
Marilyn, when will the National Energy Board hearings be?
The National Energy Board hearings are going to happen in August, so from the 26th to the 3rd. For about a week, and then in late 2013, that's when they were expected to have the construction happen.
So does that present problems in terms of organizing against it? That seems like a pretty short time frame to get people actively opposing it.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely one of our, we'd like to have it be delayed. However, we're we're even questioning whether we want to put too much energy on that process, because it seems to be a more of an administrative one than one that really is too concerned about social acceptability issues. We went to the info session earlier this week on Thursday, and that was stated pretty openly.
Now, if the National Energy Board rules against the pipeline, will the Harper government be able to overturn the ruling under the new under its new legislation, which has weakened environmental protections?
Interestingly, not. The new legislation, the NEB Act, there's two sections, and so Section 52 happens to it concerns a project kind of like the Northern Gateway, so it needs to be a pipeline that's has a new construction of more than 40 kilometers. That's not the case for Line 9. So it falls under Section 58, so Harper does not have a right to veto this project.
What kind of actions is Climate Justice Montreal planning?
Well, we're working right now because the Line 9 and the whole tar sand, the whole pipeline issues is more new in eastern Quebec. Yeah, there was a trail break a couple of years ago, but more recently we need to create more public awareness and more mobilization. So we started with that. In January we had a community forum. We had some speakers come from Amgenang and different parts of Quebec to try to get more knowledge in Montreal about this enjeu, but as we're seeing right now, even over the last months, there's more and more articles. It's starting to become really picked up by the mainstream media as well. So we're still working a lot on awareness. We also want to work with municipalities to try to move towards a ban, to ban the tar sands from Quebec. That's climate justice's main focus.
Well, it's been great talking with you this morning, Marilyn, and good luck with the struggle against this.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Marilyn Tovar. She is with Climate Justice Montreal.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.